Well, we are finishing up the book of Peter today, so I want you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 as we finish up the book of Peter. Last week, we studied on false teachers, false apostles, false prophets, any area of the fivefold ministry that the enemy has deceived people and they are deceiving others. We addressed the issue of false teachers. It is a very strong word. It is a scathing rebuke from Peter to false doctrines, heresies, and false teachers. And he minces no words when he comes and addresses it. And we understand that those heresies are parts of Scripture that people twist and manipulate it to fit their own agenda. A heresy is any truth taken to an extreme. And we talked about the hyper-grace movement, where you can abuse the grace of God. And we also talked about legalism, which begins to bind people in man-made mechanisms of men and begins to force them to come under a yoke of men instead of under the law of the Spirit of God. And so we talked about that. Another thing that I didn't address last week that I wanted to just hit on just a little bit was I didn't mention that another thing that was happening at that time is they were taking Christ and making him equal to other gods. And as you see, this is still happening today. They are saying there's many roads to heaven. You can go through Buddha. You can go through Muhammad. You can go through this. You can go through that. But I'm telling you again that there is only one way that you will ever have eternal life, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only acceptable sacrifice. He is the one that paid the sins for the entire world. And by his blood and through his stripes and his wounds, we are healed and we have eternal life. We know that he is deity. He is not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. He is God manifested in physical form. In Colossians, I love it. He is Christ, the visible representation of the invisible God. And to put it so beautifully, as Anne Graham Lott says, Christ makes God visible. There is no other path to eternal life. Psalm says, kiss the Son or die. And in Corinthians, if I'm not mistaken, it says at the close of one of the chapters, it says, and anybody that does not love Jesus Christ is cursed. Some translations say anathemed. That is powerful statements. So there are not many roads to heaven. There is one, and his name is Jesus. And if you miss him, you've missed everything. You cannot earn your way into salvation. By faith, you have been saved in Jesus Christ. But it is a faith that transforms you into the image and the likeness of God. It is constantly renewing your mind. It is a faith that has action. It is a faith that walks in a new way of life. That's why it's called born again. You're born again, born by the Spirit to walk and to live a different life. That's why Peter says you're a peculiar people. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are different than all the people on the face of the earth because you carry the presence of God inside of you. So that was a very important. I felt like I needed to go back and just hit that. Many people are deceived into believing that there are many ways into God and they make Christ equal. That is an insult. There is only one way to have peace with the Father and to have eternal life. And that is through Jesus Christ, the Son, and his blood, and accepting him into your heart and into your life by faith with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, transforming you into the image and the likeness of God. And that is it. So these false teachers twist the Scriptures. They confuse the people. They absolutely violate the Word of God and the truths that are in the Scripture by them twisting it. And it is an insult to Christ, and it damages people. I'm going to tell you, by these heresies, many have turned away from the faith. They have indulged in sexual immorality and in all types of perversion and greed and adultery, and they have lost their eternal salvation by deviating from Christ. They walked away from the one who loved them. And it is dangerous stuff. It is dangerous stuff. It says they were once in the faith. They were once under his authority. It even mentions this in the chapter that we went under, that we learned about last week in chapter 2. It talks about that they deviated and turned away from the master who bought them. So for all of those who think you cannot backslide into perdition, you are deceived. You are deceived. This word over and over again states that it is a faith that transforms, and it is a faith all the way to the end. We don't want to lose our faith. Demas has forsaken me for the love of this present world. And there are others in the Bible who committed heresies, who spoke and twisted the scriptures, and they went back. And we talked about the Nicolaitans and how they twisted scriptures and brought in all types of pagan beliefs and heresies into the church by twisting the scriptures of God, taking the word of God, twisting them and manipulating them. And anytime you see, I just want to say this, anytime you see somebody trying to force you to do something, anybody that is trying to manipulate you to do something, those are tactics of witchcraft. That is Satan. They're witchcraft. To force, to manipulate, to strong arm somebody under subjection. That's why the Spirit of the Lord this morning was saying, I'm standing at the door knocking on your heart, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you and have fellowship with you. It's an invitation. Christ will never force someone to love him or accept him. It's an invitation. And if you reject the invitation, then you will live by the consequences of the decision in this life and in the one to come. And that is the truth of the scriptures. So we're hitting this beautiful chapter in chapter 3. It's as if we dealt with all the strength of false teachers and the strength of where their destiny is, how that they're opening up doors for them to be cast into hell and to go through that, just to come to this beautiful scripture in Peter where he's once again offering salvation to the world and giving us an understanding that Christ has delayed his coming because he wants people to be saved. So this chapter in 2 Peter, the third chapter, is just an amazing chapter. And it comes on the heels of the warnings against the false teachers and false prophets. And I love it because it opens up and it just begins to encourage us in the return of the Lord. So the Lord is coming back. He is returning. And that is so joyful to me. And I don't know about you, but as things continue to escalate and as we move into the end times where there will be a lot of difficult situations, a lot of what Jesus explained in Matthew 24 and what the apostles have talked about and even what Peter gets into in this chapter, there is such a hope and a joy in knowing that the Lord is returning. It doesn't matter, who believes it or who doesn't believe it, in the sense that this is going to be fulfilled. The return of the Lord has been spoken by Christ, and it will be fulfilled. There is not one single word that Jesus has spoken that will not come to pass. And we want people to be saved, and that's why Jesus came. And so it doesn't matter how long it takes for him to complete and finish the will and the purposes of his heart. He is coming. It is his promise, and he never breaks a promise. Our God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent. Has he not spoken, and will he not do it? Jesus' return is the hope of every born-again believer. It is our hope. Jesus is coming again. You know, I love that song that Andre Crouch sang. He said, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we're going to see the King. It is the hope of every believer. There is a hope and a joy that floods our soul when we talk about the return of the King. And this is something that God has really brought to me in my prayer time. Pray that my kingdom will come and my will be done upon the earth. Pray that God is moving us forward to the millennial reign of Christ, for the return of the King, for the setting up of His kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom. He's been, in my prayer time, I just declare it and decree it. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. He will rule forever and ever and ever and ever. And He is a God of righteousness, and His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And He will rule with a rod of iron, and He will rule with a shepherd's staff. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming for His people. And there is great joy in that. And so that excites me. I hope that excites you. Jesus is coming back. Our Lord will return. He will return. So let's open up and read now this third chapter in the book of 2 Peter. This is my second letter to you, dear brothers. And in both of them, I have tried to remind you, if you will let me, about facts you already know. Facts you learned from the holy prophets and from us apostles who brought you the words of our Lord and Savior. First, I want to remind you that in the last days, there will come scoffers who will do every wrong they can think of and laugh at the truth. This will be their line of arguments. Oh, so Jesus promised to come back, did he? Well, where is he? Where is he then? He'll never come. Why, as far back as anyone can remember, everything has remained exactly as it was since the first day of creation. But they deliberately forget this fact, that God destroyed the world with a mighty flood long after He had made the heavens by the word of His command, and had used the waters to form the earth and surround it. And God has commanded that the earth and the heavens be stored away for a great bonfire at the judgment day, when all ungodly men will perish. But don't forget this, dear friends, that a day or a thousand years from now is like tomorrow to the Lord. He isn't really being slow about His promised return, even though it sometimes seems that way. But He is waiting for the good reason that He is not willing that any should perish. And He is giving more time for sinners to repent. The day of the Lord is surely coming, as unexpectedly as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the heavenly bodies will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be burned up. And so, since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives we should be living. You should look forward to that day and hurry it along, the day when God will set the heavens on fire and the heavenly bodies will melt and disappear in flames. But we are looking forward to God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth afterwards, where there will be only goodness. Another translation says, in which dwells righteousness. Dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen and for Him to come, try hard to live without sinning. Live pure lives and be at peace with everyone so that He will be pleased when He returns. And remember why He is waiting. He is giving us time to get His message out. This message of salvation out to others. Our wise and beloved brother Paul has talked about these same things in many of his letters, and some of his comments are not easy to understand. And there are people who are deliberately stupid and always demand some unusual interpretation. They have twisted his letters around to mean something quite different from what he meant, just as they do the other parts of the scripture, and the result is disaster for them. I am warning you ahead of time, dear brothers, so that you can watch out and not be carried away by the mistakes of these wicked men, lest you yourselves become mixed up too. but grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be all glory and splendid honor, both now and forevermore. And amen. Amen. So Peter is once again reminding us of things that has already been taught by the other apostles and by himself. He's not afraid to go back to things that he's already taught once. How many gets it the first time? I don't know about you, but I have to listen repetitive. This is repetitive teaching. Repetitive teaching. It's necessary. We do this a lot in the school program. That's why sometimes it's dangerous, some of the things that they're teaching in school, because they do it repetitive to sow seeds into the mind. And not all the seeds that they put in education is godly or good. But this is the word of the Lord, and he is taking the word of the Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit reminding them at the unction of the Spirit what God wants to say to them again. Again, I need to hear it again and again and again and again. And I need to go through the books of the Bible again and again and again. Why? Because we live in a fallen world where the enemy is always attacking our mind and our heart. And we have to constantly be putting back into us the truth of God's word. Because the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. But it is Jesus and his words that come to give life. Life in abundance. Life to the full. Life till it overflows. And so you're never done learning the word of the Lord. In fact, you are in continuous rotation of hearing the things of God, of salvation, being born again, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus is coming again. And so he's saying, I'm not afraid to keep telling you these same things over and over and over. And even Jesus said that the word of God is like something that a treasure where you go back and you pick out bits and pieces, old and new. So we need to hear the word of God again and again so that we can continue to grow in the ways of Christ. And I don't know about you, but when I find a song that really ministers to me, I'll push that repeat button. Buddy, that thing's just going on and on and on. And that's how I learn. And then I come to a place where it becomes a part. It's a revelation to me. It becomes a revelation by the Holy Spirit. Now, many of the songs we've been singing lately are songs about salvation. Why are we going back to that? Because that is a strength to us in the days of persecution and difficulty, that we have been saved out of darkness into light, that death no longer can threaten us or intimidate us because we have the life-giving Spirit. And even when we take our last breath here, we enter into the glories of heaven. For to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And so it is the words of God and the comfort of the Holy Spirit that we keep going over and over again because they revive us and they refresh us and they renew our hearts and our lives. He said, I'm not afraid to keep bringing you the words of the holy prophets. I'm not afraid to keep bringing you the words that Christ taught through the disciples. These epistles are the teachings of Jesus Christ coming through the apostles. By the inspiration of the Spirit, by the power of God, and the witness that they have with walking with him, they walked with him. That's why Peter mentions that. I beheld his glory on the Mount Transfiguration. You go to 1 John and it opens up by saying, we beheld his glory and we saw him, we touched him, we heard him. And they are giving to the people the teachings of Jesus, not their own opinions, not their own thoughts. They're giving the teachings of Jesus Christ. As the Spirit gives them information and instruction and revelation. And the Spirit continues to do that. But it's God's Spirit. In Timothy, we hear about how to set up a church and in Titus. But it's by the Spirit of God that it's being spoken, which is God himself. And so God is always speaking, and we must listen to the teachings that are in agreement and in alignment with the prophets and the Word of God, the holy prophets, the teachers, the apostles who taught the teachings of Christ Jesus. He says, I know you may know these things, but I want you to know that they're facts and not fiction. These are not stories. These are not fairy tales. These are not fantasies. These are facts that we're teaching you. I want to remind you that in the last days, there are going to be scoffers. There are going to be scoffers. Jesus mentioned over and over again that what happened to him would be done to his people. If you go back to the teachings of Jesus, he mentioned scoffers. What are scoffers? They are those who mock and insult, treating with contempt, to ridicule, laugh at, and they treat disrespectfully. They are rude and sarcastic towards others. Jesus experienced all these things, and he said to his followers that they would experience it too. You are not exempt from mockers. You're going to have people make fun of your faith. You're going to have people laugh at you. They're going to use parts of the scripture, twisting it and then throwing it at you. Oh, so you think you're holier than thou, or you think you're this, or you think you're that, and they're going to mock your faith. If they did that to Jesus, they're going to do that to you. Because we are his followers. We are his followers. In fact, in John 15 and 20, Jesus said this. He said, remember the word that I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than the master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And that's exactly what is happening in the books of Peter and Hebrew. Nero being just an absolute tyrant and murdering and killing people that are of faith in Christ Jesus. He said, Jesus forewarned his disciples that if the enemy was going to do that to him, if they were going to mock Jesus, if they were going to pluck out his beard, if they were going to spit upon his face, if they were going to slap him, if they was going to pull out his hair, if they were going to put thorns on him, if they was going to mar him like no other man, they were going to do that to his people. And through the years and the times, that's why we have the Book of the Martyrs. That's why we have people today that are dying for their faith. That's why we have people all over the world who are willing to give their life for the cause of Christ. There are mockers. There are unbelievers. There are people who will never, let's just be honest, though the gospel is spread throughout the entire world, though Jesus gave his life for every single person, there are people that will not accept him. They will hate him until their last breath. Peter just talked about that. Not everyone believes Jesus, nor loves him. But for those who do, there is a great hope waiting beyond this world. And that is the hope of eternal life. So he's telling us about Jesus' return, and he's going back down here, and he's talking about scoffers, and they're going to be mocking, saying, well, you know, Jesus has said he was going to come back. I mean, I've heard that, and my mama said that, and my grandmother said that, and her mom said that, and then her grandma said that, and they always talk about how Christ is going to return, but here we are, and it's 2021, and somebody listen to this later on, or you can add the date, whatever date it is, if the Lord still tarries, and they'll mock. They'll say, well, Christ hasn't returned. He hasn't come back. And they'll laugh at the ways of Christ and the things of the scriptures, and they'll laugh at his people. But then he's reminding us again, and I'm just going to tell you that Peter continuously goes back to the judgment that came through the flood. He constantly reminds him that even though God is slow to bring about sometimes his promises, he always keeps his word. Longfellow said, though the mills of God's justice grind slowly, they grind exceedingly fine. God keeps his word. He keeps it. He is very faithful in bringing about what he has declared and decreed out of his mouth. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of the Lord stands forever. But there are mockers, and they deliberately forget this fact, that God did destroy the world with a mighty flood long after that he had made the heavens by the word of his command, and has used the waters to form the earth, and had used the waters to form the earth and surround it. And God has commanded that the earth and the heavens be stored away for a great bonfire at the judgment day when all ungodly men will perish. I mean, this is just an amazing scripture here because it's life beyond this earth. There is eternal life. And I think the church has so sometimes been grounded here. I've been grounded here sometimes. My thoughts are way too carnal sometimes. They're way too earth-centered. But trouble and tribulation and suffering and persecution has a way of shaking us out of that mindset. And that's why he is going back and teaching these things, they're relevant again. When the church is under persecution, they need to hear hope. And that hope is the return of Christ. It is the return of Jesus. People may mock the way of Jesus, but ultimately in the end, Christ will have the final say. And he's bringing back another example. This example he's brought up, this is the third time or the fourth time that he's brought this up in the last two books, the 1 Peter, 2 Peter, where he once again brings out the issue of the flood. Because that is an exclamation point in history. That the flood came to judge ungodly people. And just as surely as the flood came to judge that ungodly generation, he is coming again to judge with fire. The heavens will be melted. The earth will be melted. He is coming again to judge. And you know, he's going to get rid of everything that isn't in harmony with his will. All wickedness, all rebellion, the mockers, the scoffers, those who hate God and hate his people. That will be a day of judgment, a day of judgment when God will judge the earth and all that is in it again, this time not by water, but by fire. And I don't know about you, but I sure want to be in God's kingdom. I sure want to be in harmony with God when everything is destroyed and the heavens are melted like wax. He said they deliberately forget this fact. They deliberately forget it. They don't want to think about it. They put it out of their mind. And I think that's, anytime we deliberately put something off, there's something in it that we probably need to hear, but our flesh doesn't want to hear it. And instead of listening and receiving the warning, we deliberately put it off so we don't have to deal with it. I think that's the danger right now in this hour as the earth is being shaken, the world is being shaken with all the things that are going on. Volcanoes are erupting. We've got the COVID situation. We got political powers trying to make power grabs. We got the EU and all the things going on that are trying to form a one world government. We've got setups for the mark of the beast. And it would be easy for us to say, I don't want to hear that. I'm deliberately saying good thoughts, only good thoughts, wonderful thoughts. It is true that you are to think pure thoughts and good thoughts, but that's not to the exclusion of the other parts of the scripture that are warnings. We don't want to just hear all the bad news and never hear that Christ is coming again and that there is hope and that he's going to give us more of his spirit to deal with the situations that are going on in the world around us. He said, I give more and more grace to meet every evil tendency of your bodily members. I'm going to give you more of the Holy Spirit. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. And the Spirit of the Lord will be released to battle and to come against the satanic forces. That's why it's so important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and surrender to the Spirit of God. But we can't deliberately ignore the warnings because they make us feel uncomfortable. We have to look at it for what it is. And these people deliberately forget that God has judged the world before. He's judged the world before, and he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. We have ruined his world with wickedness. Everything he made that was good and wonderful and beautiful, though we see little trinkets, you know, little parts of it now. My daughter Grace sent me a picture of a leaf on her window. And when the sun shined through it, you could see all the veins moving through it and all the colors and all the different parts of it. And she goes, isn't God amazing? You see his creation everywhere. It's amazing. But we have marred this world with sin. The world is full of sinfulness, and the earth is convulsing for the return of God and the sons and the daughters of God to be revealed. It's convulsing. I think it's maybe 40-some days on La Palma that the volcano has now been erupting. Continuous lava flows, more earthquakes. And it's not just there. It's in other places. There are volcanoes that are erupting. It's like the earth is convulsing, saying, when will you redeem us from the sin and the wickedness of men and Satan's power? God has commanded that the earth and the heavens be stored away for a great bonfire at the judgment day when all ungodly men will perish. That is the fate of all who reject Jesus Christ. They will perish. We cannot ignore it. That's why the message of Jesus has to continually be preached, and we have to continually pray and preach the gospel and the salvation that only comes through Jesus. He says, but don't forget this, dear friends, that a day or a thousand years from now is like tomorrow to the Lord. He isn't really being slow about his promised return, even though it sometimes seems that way. But he is waiting for the good reason that he is not willing that any should perish. And he is giving more time for sinners to repent. I just want you to know this, that we're still here because our God is merciful and wanting people to be saved and wanting people to accept his son and his sacrifice and receive the blood of Jesus for the atonement of their, so they can be saved from this destruction and this judgment that is coming upon the earth, from this hell that is coming. He's trying to give people more and more time. He's so merciful, so long-suffering, so patient, so wanting people to be in harmony with him and in unison with him and in oneness with him, knowing the goodness of God, knowing the greatness of who he is, knowing the mercy and the love and the character of God. He's patiently waiting for people to come to Jesus. He wants people to be saved. That's why he's delayed. That's why we're still here. There are days when I sit in my prayer chair and I'm like, oh God, I wish you would come. I just want you to come. I want to be with you. But the real truth is that he has delayed his coming this far so that people can be saved. He loves people. He gave the very best, his son. And do you know that the scripture says God was in Christ? God was in Christ making his appeal unto men to be reconciled unto God. That he who knew no sin would be filled with life, and through him, sacrifice and atonement was made. He who knew no sin would become sin so that we could inherit the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promises of eternal life, the Holy Spirit. God was in Christ. He wants people to be saved. I want people to be saved. I want people to know Jesus. Nothing hurts my heart more than to have people away from God. I see people sometimes. I know that they're broken. I know that they're bruised. I know that they've been through difficult things in their life. I know that they've suffered from the hands of their family members or friends or circumstances or situations. I know that they're wounded. I know that sin has played a major role in their life and where they are today. But I also know this, only God can deliver them, and that comes through Jesus and by a supernatural encounter of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, religion cannot save people. It is the divine, supernatural intervention of the Holy Spirit, the revelation that comes by the Spirit of God upon a human heart to be able to come and accept Jesus. So we pray that the Spirit of God continue to bring people unto Him, and that that through that Word of God, the Bible says, through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, men are saved. It looks foolish to this world. They laugh at it. They make fun of it. And yet in that moment, when the Spirit connects with the person, the Spirit connects with their spirit, the divine, it comes. It brings revelation and understanding and enlightens the mind and the heart. And they humble themselves, repenting of their sins. And all of a sudden, God puts His seed in them and they're born again. It's really a wonderful, supernatural event that God does in the hearts and the lives of people. And God has that for anybody listening right now. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, He wants to save you. The delay is for you. The delay is for those listening on the radio. The delay is for those listening on YouTube. The delay is those listening on the webpage. If you do not know Christ, the reason why God has delayed His coming, it is for you, because He loves you and He wants you to be saved and He wants you to have eternal life. And He can do for you what no man can do for you. And if you'll just come to Him, as the Spirit of the Lord is drawing you, as the Spirit of the Lord is bringing this to you, as the Spirit of the Lord right now is apprehending your heart, you've never known Jesus as your Savior. You know that this world has been a journey that has been very woundful for you, but you feel in your heart at this very moment that if you can just somehow, if God is real, even if you just say that, if God is real, oh God, make yourself known to me at this moment, and He will do it. Because He wants you to be saved. It is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting eternal life. That is the heart of our God. He made a way for you to come. 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 He wants you. He wants you to save you. Please come. Please come. As the Spirit is drawing, come. As the Lord is bidding you, come. Come, come. All ye that are thirsty, come, drink of the water of life freely. Come. He will have mercy. He will forgive. He will pardon. He is a merciful God. He won't hold your sins against you. If you ask Him to forgive you, He will freely forgive you. He wants to forgive. We all came to God that way, in need of a Savior. He's the only way. There's no other way. Let Him do this for you. Let Him save you. Please let Him save you. Let Him save you. Have mercy, Father. Have mercy. Why He's delayed. I know there will come a time when that delay will cease. The Spirit will not always strive with men. There will be a dark day for those who do not know Jesus, but for those who do, it's what we've been waiting for. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And he is giving more time for sinners to repent. Again, he's repeating this statement. The day of the Lord is surely coming, as unexpectedly as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the heavenly bodies will disappear in a bonfire, and the earth and everything on it will be burned up. Twice he mentions this. Emphasis is always put on things that are really important for us to pay attention. He is coming, and Peter is saying, and I want you to be ready, and I want people to be saved. And so, since everything around us is going to melt away, what holy, godly lives we should be living. You should be looking forward to the day and hurrying it along. How can we hurry it along? We pray for God's kingdom to come. We ask the Lord for his return. Come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. Every time we take communion, we're announcing the Lord's return. We're declaring the Lord is coming back. We want him to come. We're hurrying it along. We're praying in agreement with his heart and his will. Don't you think Jesus wants to be with his people? You're his bride. Men, can you remember your wedding day? When you saw her coming down the aisle, do you remember? She was beautiful. Precious stones. All in white. The music playing. You ladies had gotten yourself prepared. Everything in place. I want to look beautiful for the one who's willing to accept me as his bride. And you did your hair and your nails, oh, everything. Just, oh, you smelt wonderful. And the music started playing. And he's standing there anxiously waiting. Today will be the day when she will be mine. I accept her. For better, for worse. For richer, for poor. Sickness and ill health. Forsaking all others. I accept her as mine. I'll go through the storms with her. I'll go through the valleys and the dark places. I will give my life to save her. That's how Jesus feels. He's been waiting for that day. It's almost as if he wants to step out and go ahead, but the Father's saying, wait, wait, son. Wait, there's an appointed time. At my command, son, I know precisely when she will have made herself ready. I am creating the circumstances and the events that will propel her into the purity and the oneness that she will have with me. Just hold on. Hold on. The day will come when she will walk down that aisle and no power of hell will stop it. Dressed in purity, holiness, virtue, and Christ righteousness. And the Father will say, now. No more delay. And the two shall become one. Father, I pray that they would be one as even the Father and the Son and the Spirit are one. Father, I pray that they will be with me and that I don't lose any that you have committed to me. John 17. Heavens will pass away. At the day of the Lord, he's coming like unexpectedly as a thief. He's coming at a time when many will not be prepared, though the warnings and the signs will continue to be given. He will continuously warn. He will continuously try to awaken. He's coming unexpectedly as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise and the heavenly bodies. I had a dream recently. It was the most amazing dream. And in this dream, I was in this place. And I don't know where this place is except to describe it as a secret place of the Most High God. And it was magnificent. And the whole mountain was made out of carvings of wood. And there were unique and intricate carvings in every place. And it looked like a castle made of wood. It was just magnificent. It reminds me of the cross. It was more magnificent than what we thought. What the world considered shameful, God said, this is how I'm going to bring eternal life to the world. And it was so beautiful. And all of a sudden, the sky on one open part was completely opened. And it flashed with yellow and orange. And it was just an explosion that shook the entire world. My feet were shaken. In the dream, it trembled the entire earth. It was such a noise that I said out loud in my dream, the Lord Jesus Christ has returned. And I woke up. He's coming. You take the word of God and what he has spoken, our God never being able to lie, he is returning. He's coming. Everything's going to be pass away. All these things that we held on to that we thought were so important. I always tell people, God will provide for his people, care for his people, take care of them through resources and finances and through the things that they need. But don't get so caught up in it that that's all you think about. He's coming for a people who are looking for him. You should be looking forward to that day and hurrying it along. The day when God will set the heavens on fire and the heavenly bodies will melt and disappear in flames. I love Revelation 21 because it is the hope of every believer. And it agrees, once again, it agrees with the teachings of Jesus and it agrees with the teachings of Peter in this passage. Revelation 21, then I saw a new sky, a heaven and a new earth, for the former sky and the former earth had passed away and vanished, and there no longer existed a sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, all arrayed like a bride, beautified and adorned for her husband. And then I heard a mighty voice from the throne, and I perceived its distinct words saying, see, the abode of God is with men. He will live and encamp his tent among them, and they shall be his people, and God shall personally be with them and be their God. The tent of tabernacles. We're going to tabernacle with the Lord. We're going to forever be with the Lord. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall no more be. Neither shall there be anguish or sorrow and mourning, nor grief nor pain anymore. For the old condition and the former order of things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, see, I make all things new. The beginning and the end. He's Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Let me go back. I think I missed a part. He said, I make all things new. Also, he said, record this, for these sayings are faithful and accurate, trustworthy and true. They're genuine. And he further said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I myself will give water without price from the fountain of springs of the water of life. That is the Holy Spirit of God. That is the life of God. The very life of God. He who is victorious shall inherit all these things, and I will be God to him, and he shall be my son. But as for the cowards and the ignoble and the contemptible and the crawling and those craving, lacking in courage and the cowardly submissive, and as for the unbelieving and faithless, and as for the depraved and the defiled with abominations, as for murderers and the lewd and the adulterous and the practicers of magic arts and the adulterers, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those who knowingly convey untruth by word or deed, all of these shall have part in the lake that blazes with fire and brimstone. And this is the second death. They are in harmony, these passages of Scripture. They align right up with what Jesus says. What a day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear. No more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Encourage one another with these words. For he will come, and he won't delay any longer. He's coming. He's coming. He says, God will set the heavens on fire and the heavenly bodies will melt and disappear in the flames, but we are looking forward to God's promise of a new heaven and a new earth, after which dwells righteousness. Righteousness will rule. Righteousness, because God is righteous. His righteousness will rule. I am looking forward to this. Are you excited about the millennial reign of Christ? We hardly seldom hear it taught. But it is a time when he will set up his kingdom. You see, that's what the Antichrist wants. He wants his kingdom to rule. Hitler himself wanted a millennial reign. Do you know that? The Antichrist always wants what God has said he will have. All their plans will fail. But God will rule and reign forever. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that will never come to an end. There is one more world government that is trying to claim power, and it will have power, but only for a short season, and then they will be destroyed, and the beast and the Antichrist and the false prophet will be thrown into hell, and Christ will rule forever. Timing, appointed time and seasons. We're coming into the last days. God is going to clothe you with great power for these last days. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon you mightily. Dear friends, while you are waiting for this kingdom of righteousness, while you're waiting for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule, in which dwells righteousness, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen and for him to come, live a pure life. Live without operating in habitual sin. Habitual sin is not of God's people. Live pure lives. And be at peace with everyone so that he will be pleased when he returns. That means make short accounts. If there's unforgiveness in your heart, get rid of it. If you've gossiped and slandered anybody or spoke evil of someone instead of praying for them, get it out of your heart. If you are living in habitual sin, you are outside of the will of God. 1 John talks of this and says, if you live in willful sin, habitual sin, you don't even know God. We will at times make mistakes. Yes, all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But if we confess our sins and turn away from it, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are to live in the holiness of the Holy Spirit. If you sin, get rid of it quickly. If you say something you shouldn't, get rid of it. If there's bitterness in your heart, I mean check your heart every day and make sure that it's clean. Get rid of anything that you shouldn't have in there. Empty it out before the Lord. Forgive people and let it go. We have to live differently now. We have to live without habitually sinning. Who wants to habitually sin? Who wants to live in that evil? No, we do not. People of God do not. Those who have been born again do not live that way. They live for Jesus. They live for Jesus. They may fall, but they get up quickly. And they don't stay in their sins. And remember why he is waiting. He is giving us time to get the message out of salvation to others. Our wise and beloved brother Paul, he talks about Paul here. Isn't that funny? Because even Paul and Peter at times had a little riff between each other. And yet he is caring about Paul. Pay attention to what Paul has said. You see, it's not that at times we don't have disagreements. It's just that we can't keep that bitterness in our heart. We forgive and move on. We appreciate the gifts that God has placed in the body. We appreciate people and their thoughts. And if we need corrected, may the love of God be deep enough in our love for one another that we can do that with a spirit of grace and love one another to wholeness and to holiness. And once again, what is he getting back to when he comes to these final closings of chapter? The whole book, the real reason that the book of 2 Peter was written to deal with heresies. So he gets right back to his original agenda right at the very end. He talks about Paul and he says that some of them have taken his words and they are deliberately stupid and always demanding some unusual interpretation. They have twisted his letters around to mean something quite different. And what is heresy? You take truth and you twist it. You take it out of its original context. You manipulate it to form your own thought processes instead of that in which it was intended. To mean something quite different from what he meant it to be. And just as they do other parts of the scripture. And then he says again what we learned last week. The end result for these teachers is disaster. Eternal judgment. He says, I'm warning you ahead of time. That's what the book of 2 Peter is all about, a warning. I'm warning you again. I'm warning you ahead of time, dear brother, so that you can watch out and not be carried away by the mistakes of these wicked men, lest you yourselves become mixed up too. But grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter has mentioned this again for the third time in both books. He says, you will get to know God better and better. If you're going on with the Lord, just keep growing in the Lord and you'll get to know God better. Just keep pressing in to know God better, to know him better, to get better acquainted with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be all glory and splendid honor both now and forever. And amen. These books of 1st and 2nd Peter are powerful, and they are very relevant to our time. Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you for reminding us of eternal life. Thank you, O Lord. For all that you're revealing to us by the study of your word. And Lord, we want to put it into practice. We don't want to be hearers of the word only, but doers and hearers of the word. We want to hear the true, accurate word of the Lord, not the interpretations of men apart from the Holy Spirit, not the twisting of the gospel through heresies and manipulations. We want to hear the whole counsel of the Lord. We receive the whole counsel of the Lord through the Holy Scriptures. Father, please help us, your ministers, your pastors, your evangelists, your prophets, your teachers, your apostles, help us to accurately interpret the Word of God by the Spirit's divine revelation. Father, please do not allow us to operate outside of the counsel of your word. Please, Father, if there is any teachers or ministers, you're listening to this, you're listening to these warnings from Peter about false teachers and false, please turn around. If you are teaching something that is in error, you are leading people astray and away from God. And you are bringing your soul unto judgment and also your hearers. Father, help us. Please do not allow us to deceive the people. Do not allow us to become greedy. Do not allow us, Lord, to misinterpret the holy scriptures of God to which we will be given an account before you on the day of judgment. But help us to lead people to righteousness and holiness and truth, accurately dividing the word of God. Whether it seems convenient or inconvenient, may we teach the whole counsel of the Lord. And for your hearers, Lord, give them a heart to hear everything, not just the parts that make them feel good, but the parts that are challenging, and the parts that give warning, and the parts that encourage. All of it, may we take it to heart, because your word does not deceive. Your word is truth. Your word have we hidden in our heart that we might not sin against God. And Lord, may we endeavor to know you greater and greater and greater and greater through the word and through the Spirit. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray, O Lord, for your people to be strengthened in these last days by the Spirit of God and the word of God. And if there are any away from the Lord, you've walked away from the Lord, you've backslidden, you've went back on your faith, it is time to come back to the Lord. Do not delay. Do not put it off. For at a time when you thinketh not, the Lord cometh. For those that do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please return to the Lord. And if there are anybody that have listened to false teachings and it has poisoned their mind, whether it being extreme hyper grace, the abuse of God's grace, or whether it be extreme legalism, Father, break that off of their life and bring them into a place of perfect harmony with God through the Word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.